Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thank you for listening in. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson.
Well, hi, Susan, and what's happening today?
Well, we're leading off this morning with the monthly Story County Report from Leanne Harder, County Outreach and Special Projects Manager. After our phenology report on turkey vultures, we'll get into our main story, which is about the problems with a program known as DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. There are quite a few of the DACA people here at Iowa State, and one of them will be speaking with us. And then we have another DACA recipient from Webster City who will talk about the situation there. And finally, we'll learn about a new green business incubator in Story City.
Well, that's a lot in one program, and I see that Leanne is here to get us started. Hello, Leanne.
Good morning.
Now, what do we need to know about what's happening in Story County in October?
In October and November, because I want to always be looking a month ahead, I have a lot of things that I want to share with you. I want to start by inviting everyone to the Story County Supermarket of Veterans Benefits. This is an annual event that occurs on or around Veterans Day. It is put on by the Story County Veterans Affairs Office. It is going to be Friday, November 17th, beginning at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There is no cost to attend. It will be held at the Ames Moose Lodge, which is just north of Ada Hayden Park on Moose Road or 644 West 90th. Opening ceremonies at 9 o'clock a.m. There will be presentations, the Vietnam 50-year commemorative pins, and books, and then all day long, haircuts, donuts, and coffee provided in the morning. Representatives from various federal and state and local agencies, including the Iowa Department of Veterans Affairs, Story County Veterans Affairs, the Iowa Veterans Home, the VA Regional Office, the VA Medical Center, Shock Clinic and Homeless Outreach, and the Vet Center will all be in attendance to answer questions, help get veterans and families signed up for benefits that they rightly deserve. Also, the Story County Treasurer and Story County Assessor's offices will be there to help with what local opportunities are. And then, of course, American Legion, the Disabled American Vets, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and the Vietnam Veterans of America. They'll be talking about e-benefits and My Healthy Vet, which are two opportunities for individuals to take advantage of. So again, there's no cost to attend. If you have questions or you just have general questions about Veterans Affairs benefits, call Brett McLean at 515-956-2626. And then, this is an interesting segue, but Story County Sheriff's Office is now contributing as a full-time participant to the FBI's Central Iowa Gang Task Force. So the CIGTF. Our sheriff, Paul Fitzgerald, has been sheriff for 25 years, and throughout those 25 years, he's continually worked to really build those partnerships and strong relationships with federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. And that philosophy has been and continues to be that by working together with others and really forming those partnerships and relationships, we all can more efficiently and effectively combat crime here in Story County. So recently, Sheriff Fitzgerald was approached by FBI leadership and asked to consider having a member of the Story County Sheriff's Office join the FBI Central Iowa Gang Task Force as a full-time participant. This entails Story County providing one sworn deputy to the task force indefinitely, with their primary duty working full-time with the task force. According to the FBI, they extended the invitation to Story County based on the positive reputation of the Story County Sheriff's Office and our close proximity to the Des Moines metro area. Recently, Sheriff Fitzgerald did communicate this and sought direction from the Story County Board of Supervisors. In response, the board did authorize the creation of one new deputy sheriff position for the Sheriff's Office. That new position will backfill the vacancy created by the deputy assigned to the task force, thus keeping Story County's patrol strength at 18 strong, which allows us to participate full-time with the FBI. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for the citizens of Story County. Story County Conservation still has trees available to sell through Operation Relief. That's a partnership with Alliant Energy. Trees will be available from East Peterson Park on Thursday, October 19th. The order form can be downloaded, and it's a really lengthy website, so hopefully you can put on your website too. But you go to alliantenergy.com/community-and-stewardship/outreach-and-environment/OperationRelief. They have lots of varieties that remain: Kentucky coffee tree, hackberry, swamp white oak, and serviceberry. It's a super cheap way to get these trees to maximize the energy efficiency of your home. There is a limit of 2 trees. When you go to the order form, it says the deadline's passed, but don't worry about that. They have plenty of trees, they've assured me. So if you want a couple trees that are really reasonable to purchase, it's a great time before winter hits. Go ahead and go to that website. And then the Story County our Attorney's Office on October 5th, this year, Story County jury found Kevin Jacob Muhlenthauer of Ames guilty of 3 counts of sexual exploitation by a school employee. He did work at the North Polk Community School District, and the case was prosecuted jointly by the Story County Attorney's Office with cooperation on the Ames Police Department. So another strike for the County Attorney's Office, positive strike for the County Attorney's Office. But then Jessica Reynolds, our county attorney's office, is taking a plunge. She is going to be rappelling for a great cause, and that's for the raise money for Boys and Girls Club of Story County. They'll be Friday, October 27th at The Edge in Campustown. It's an all-day rappelling extravaganza. She's going to come cheer on the county attorney and others as they rappel down a 7.5-story building. So those of you afraid of heights, maybe you don't want to come cheer them on, but definitely you can cheer on by contributing to the cause. There will be Zap laser tag, food trucks, music, car test drive, special guests, and more. All the proceeds of the event go back to the Boys and Girls Club of Story County. They continue to inspire and enable youth and all of our communities to reach their full potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. We have a city election coming up, so County Attorney Lucy Martin would like me to remind you of some dates. Again, the election is November 7th. It's for the city election. This past Monday, in-person absentee voting began in the auditor's office. Yesterday, the absentee ballots started being sent out by mail. Friday, October 27th is the pre-registration deadline for voter registration. After that day, you can register to vote, but Election Day registration guidelines apply. Friday, November 3rd is the last day to request an absentee ballot. And then Monday, November 6th is the last day to vote in person in the auditor's office, which is in the county administration building in Nevada. And then, of course, Election Day is November 7th, and polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then last, I'm not sure I want to talk about this. It's kind of a disheartening topic, but winter's upon us. So I want to talk about winter roads in Story County for a brief moment. We don't want to admit it, but winter in Iowa is definitely heading our way. Keep in mind the adopted maintenance procedures followed by Story County Police and our secondary roads crew when the first snowfall hits. We all have to remember how to drive again in snow, but even more so, we have to allow them time to get out there and clear the roads and know they're doing the best they can. County roads will be maintained at the best of Story County's ability, subject to weather conditions, available equipment, and safety of personnel while trying to keep within the budget. Snow is placed in a shoulder and ditch, which may cause accumulations that will inhibit sight distances, so we ask that you're cognizant of that. It'll be winged back to reduce drifting and visibility hazards when time and resources permit. So the first priority is get there and open the roads. But know when you're out there early in the morning, they may have just gone through too. So be careful. We won't have crews out generally between the hours of 7 p.m. and 5 a.m. They'll go out at 5 a.m. Private drive snow cannot be placed in the roadway or shoulders. That just reduces the time we have to get our work done. Mailboxes that are destroyed by snow plows will be replaced by the county with a normal small-size galvanized mailbox. The property owner is responsible for installing the mailbox. But if flying snow hits a mailbox, we are not responsible for that. Emergency situations may be authorized by the Story County Sheriff's Office or a physician. These may include serious injury, probable loss of life, or disastrous loss of property is imminent. And please let us know if traffic signs are missing, those stop, those very important no passing signs. Call 515-382-6566 or, of course, 911 in emergency situation. So my contact information is lharter@storycountyiowa.gov and 515-382-7247.
Thank you, Leanne Harter. It's a lot of stuff for all of us to remember and a lot of stuff they can check with you. You've just piqued their interest and they can get more details by calling you.
Yes, thank you.
I think that this is a good time to announce that the forum for the two mayoral candidates, Victoria Shipinski and John Hala, as well as the Mary Greeley Hospital trustees, will take place tomorrow night, October 12th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Council Chambers at Ames City Hall. Local Talk hopes to broadcast in-depth interviews with both candidates for mayor during our regular programming. In fact, on Monday, October 9th, at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., we did have an in-depth interview with Victoria Shipinski. Unfortunately, it wasn't aired at noon, but anyone can hear it on our website, along with the announcement of the other forums that will take place before the election on November 7th.
Well, very good, Susan. That sounds like an opportunity for everybody to hear the candidates talk and all.
And see our website for all of the other forums before the November 7th election.
No, that's terrific. Now, in case you've just tuned in, this is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been hearing from Leanne Harter with the Story County Report for October and partially November, and she's talking about winter. Oh, no, no. And before we move on to our main story, let's think about the natural world for a moment. As nature reporter Pat Schlarbaum tells us about the turkey vultures.
Phenology is recording nature's happenings when they occur. The first bluebird of spring or the last nighthawk of autumn are noted in a journal for future reference and comparison to previous years. Today's phenology is about turkey vultures. If you've gone looking for raptors on a clear day, your heart has probably leaped and skipped a beat at the sight of a large soaring bird in the distance. Perhaps an eagle or an osprey. But if it's soaring with its wings angled in a V-shape or dihedral and making wobbly circles, it's likely a turkey vulture. An eagle's wing plane is much flatter or straight, whereas the turkey vulture is V-shaped. Vultures ride thermals in the sky and use their keen sense of smell to find fresh carcasses. They are a consummate scavenger, cleaning up the countryside one bite of their hooked beak at a time and never mussing a feather on their bald heads. With a body length of 2.5 feet and a 6-foot wingspan, it is surprising that their body weight is only 2 to 4 pounds. Turkey vultures are birds of prey, like other hawks and eagles, yet their feet are weak and useless for grabbing prey. Their beaks, however, are powerful enough to rip through the hide of a dead deer or cow. They could smell carrion that's less than 12 to 24 hours old from more than a mile away. They want mammal meat as fresh as possible, preferably that of a plant-eating mammal, and will not eat extremely rotted carcasses. They are not a threat to livestock or pets. When searching for a meal, they often fly low over an area, using their sight and acute sense of smell to find the food. Very few birds have a sense of smell. Vultures are social feeders, which means many might join together to feed on a large carcass with other scavenger birds, such as eagles, hawks, and crows, that might join the feast as well. Turkey vultures often are called buzzards and are found throughout much of the United States and Central and South America, although they are not really buzzards. Buzzards are hawks of the genus Buteo that live mainly in the British Isles. In some areas of our country, however, vultures are commonly called buzzards. This term was probably used by early settlers who arrived in this country, saw our vultures, and thought they were buzzards. Turkey vultures' scientific name is Cathartes aurora, which is Latin for cleansing breeze or purifier. Like all other vultures, the turkey vulture has a bald head. This is so that bits of carrion, or dead meat, do not adhere to the skin as they would to feathers. The turkey vulture often flying low to the ground to pick up the scent of ethyl mercaptan, a gas produced by the beginnings of decay in dead animals. The olfactory lobe of its brain, responsible for processing smells, is particularly large compared to that of other animals. This heightened ability to detect odors allows it to search for carrion below the forest canopy out of sight of these winged wonders. Turkey vultures play an important role in the health of our ecosystems. As nature's cleanup crews, they help eliminate rotting carcasses, which helps control the spread of certain diseases and generally helps the air smell a lot better. Due to their stomach acids, they can feed on animals that have died from such things as botulism, anthrax, salmonella, and cholera without causing the vulture to become ill. In fact, their stomach acids actually kill the bacteria and toxins. If a group of vultures consume an infected carcass, the harmful bacteria or toxin is destroyed so that it can no longer spread to other animals or humans. They have been documented killing very weak or very sick animals, but this is very rare. They are not a threat to livestock or pets. Though the vultures prefer to feed on medium to large animals such as deer or sheep, they can be found in roads feeding on roadkill animals as small as squirrels and possums. Like so many other wildlife species, turkey vultures were negatively affected by the use of the pesticide DDT in the late 1950s and 60s. Use of the chemical was banned in 1972 in North America. Today, the population is stable and even increasing for turkey vultures. 40 years ago, it was rare to discover nesting turkey vultures in hollow logs or in the second story of an abandoned farmhouse lacking windows. Today, they are common and widespread in the Americas, and evidence suggests that they are expanding their range northward. This could be because of climate change or because they are able to survive in human-altered landscapes, which may now provide them with more food sources than were present historically. A steady supply of dead pigs at a confinement animal feeding operation, or CAFO, has been added to our landscape. Vultures are one of the most misunderstood and least appreciated birds in the avian world. Many of the opinions formed by people are based on the way vultures are portrayed in movies and cartoons. Many believe that when vultures are circling overhead, they are waiting for an animal to die. Vultures certainly circle and can soar for up to 6 hours without flapping, but they are simply using the thermals to move from place to place and testing air quality for decaying carrion. If on their nest, the vultures will hiss and regurgitate, accurately hitting their target up to 6 feet away. The smell of their vomit is so bad that this defensive move is generally very successful
in driving any predators away.
Another belief that some people have is that they are dirty, disgusting birds, when in fact, if there is water source available, most vultures will enjoy a bath after a meal. Not only do vultures not pick up many food scraps on their bald head, what they do pick up will easily wash off. Adult vultures have red heads, while young of the year remain dark until their second year. Turkey vultures love to sun themselves with wings draped openly on a perch. This is called a heraldic pose. It is believed that the vulture does this for a variety of reasons. A vulture's body temperature drops overnight, and this pose will help the birds to warm up. This pose is also used after bathing to dry their feathers or dry the morning dew. It may also help to bake off bacteria the vulture has picked up while feeding on carrion. Turkey vultures roost in large groups on dead, leafless trees. Groups of perched vultures are called a wake. Individuals live in the same communal roost most of their life and usually sleep in the same roost in the same tree on their particular branch every night. Groups of vultures are called kettles when they soar upward in spirals. Kettles appear as boiling cauldrons of vultures. Hawks are known to look for kettles to find rising air for their own flight. Each spring and autumn, turkey vultures gather at traditional roosting sites each evening. The Ledges State Park, west of Ames, on the Des Moines River, is one of those destinations. Each autumn, 35 or 40 turkey vultures can be noted in late afternoon, soaring and swooping and kettling over the valley. Soon, they will be drifting south on their migration to unfrozen areas where fresh carcasses will sustain them until their return next spring. And that's our phonology for today. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
Our major story today is about the crisis facing two of the 800,000 people affected by the decisions in Washington on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, also known as the DREAM Act. DACA recipients are known as Dreamers. Our first guest today is Andrea, who asked that we not use her last name for fear of reprisals. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good. I understand you're an Iowa State student. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, I am.
And are there many Iowa State students who are Dreamers?
There's a few of them, yes.
How many would you say are on campus? Do you have a handle on that number?
Not really. It varies, I guess you could say.
Okay. Now, who can apply for Dreamer status?
You were supposed to be here before you were 16. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different requirements. You have to prove that you're either going to work or go to school if you were out of high school or by then.
So you have to document that you're in school and what your current activities are. So is it difficult to apply? Is it complicated?
There's different paperwork that you have to do for it. And there's also a payment you have to do. And they have to approve your application to get it.
Now, does Dreamer status expire on a particular date?
Yeah, you have 2 years. And every 2 years, you have to renew it.
Now, where were you born, Andrea?
I'm from Guatemala City, Guatemala.
Okay, and what does Dreamer status enable you to do here in the country?
I was able to get a social security number, my driver's license, get a job, and
also go to school, right?
And yeah, go to school.
Now, what will happen to you personally if you lose this status, if some of the things they're talking about in Washington come to pass, what would happen to you?
I would not be able to work anymore, and that would mean me not being able to graduate because I have to do an internship to graduate.
So your life would be totally interrupted, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Totally interrupted. All the enterprise that you're involved with now would be over, and you could be deported to Guatemala. Is that correct?
Yes, because they have all my information and my parents' information, so they could easily come find you right after your DACA expires.
So apparently you're motivated to speak out at this point because something is happening in Washington that could really directly impact you and people like you at Iowa State and anywhere.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are DACA recipients and are Dreamers. So it wouldn't just be impacting me, but a lot of people that I know.
What is your message? What do you want to tell people, Andrea, who may not know a lot about this topic? What do you want to say to them, these Americans who are making their choices about their opinion on the DACA folks? What's your message to them?
We're not the bad people that everybody says we are. You know, I know a lot of people on TV and the news, they were, bad things. And, there's a process that you have to do to get in. Like, you can't just be anyone that gets the DACA. You have to prove a lot of different things. You have to prove you've been here for so long and that, you don't have a record. And, you're proving that you're going to school and you're working.
So for people to understand, someone like you, who is a Dreamer, you already are documented and really vetted as a person who is really deserving of this status, and no one needs to fear you or feel that you should be deported because everything is in order, your documents are in order, and you're functioning according to the rules of DACA. Yeah. And I hope some people heard you today, Andrea. And good luck to you, and Godspeed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I really hope everybody can get to their congressmen and let them know that, you know, we're not here to do any harm. We just want to have a better future than what we could have had in our own countries.
Thank you, Andrea, the dreamer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and you have just heard my co-host Paul Wearson talking with Andrea, one of the many ISU students who qualifies as a dreamer, and one of those who came to the United States.
But our next guest will be Suami from Webster City. She's also a dreamer, but her story is different. We're going to get a hold of her, and we'll be talking with her.
I don't, the shadows were walking together and into the light. I don't, the shadows were walking together and into the light. Estamos unidos, marchemos juntos hacia la luz.
Well, our next guest is Suami from Webster City. She's also a dreamer, but her story is a lot different than Andrea's. Suami, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Very good. Now, how old were you when you came to the United States?
I had just turned 11.
Okay. And did you go to college in America?
Yes, I did. I went to a private university in 2008 to 2012.
And what did you study? What was your course of study there?
Computer science.
Okay. And what kind, did you get a job right after you graduated? What was your experience?
Well, as you know, they didn't have the Dream Act, or I mean the DACA, till that summer, late that summer. So when I graduated, I was self-employed. My family has had a business. The year before that, we started a business. So I did have a job.
Okay.
I worked at a farm.
Now, what are your businesses? Tell us about your business, your enterprise.
Well, one of them, the one I've had for almost 10 years, it's about farming. It's here in Iowa. And we do vegetable farming.
Okay.
And so we sell to stores, and we sell at fresh markets, or we sell direct to customer as well.
And what are your other activities besides the work you do?
Well, I do a lot of volunteer work. I volunteer here at the ACE Community Center, and that's mostly what I do. I try to make businesses. I do a lot of that, business trainings and stuff like that.
And so you're there.
I read a lot.
Well, you're there as a resource for other people who've had a similar experience to you and who are trying to be established in America. Is that right?
Yes.
Just a minute. You said you worked at ACE Community Center. Could you explain a little bit what that is for those who aren't from Webster City?
Yeah, ACE Community Center, it's a center for everyone, and for immigration, where we help people if you're working through your green card or citizenship, or if something's going on that you need some advice, they come to us, and then we can direct them to a lawyer if we need to. We also do classes in Spanish, and we also do classes in English to learn the languages.
What does ACE stand for?
All Cultures Equal.
And historically, you also, I guess, got started for the refugees from Laos, for the Vietnam War. Is that right?
Correct. There's lots of refugees from Laos. And it was part of it to teach other incoming immigrants to assimilate and to teach them the language.
Well, now, Suemi, what is your current status? You're a dreamer, is that correct?
What was that?
You're a dreamer, so what is your current status? Are you threatened by any changes in the law?
Yes. Come next October, I will lose my status.
Now, what are the chances that you can reapply for that status, given the situation we're currently in? Are you worried that there will not be an avenue for you to reapply?
Yes, part of it. I made my business before I had DACA, so I know I can continue to do that. But I know a lot of other dreamers who don't have that, who are really scared, you know, nurses. I know a couple of them. I know a couple of kids still in school, and they won't be able to. I mean, right now, you can't apply. You know, it's done, basically. You have to wait till the expirations start to come in March.
And so a lot of things are right up in the air. There's a lot of talk in Washington and a lot of discussion about what could happen for the Dreamers. And I'm sure you're a voice for advocating that this program be continued and the people who are involved have some safety and ability to plan and hopefully pursue their future in the United States. So your story and the one we had before from Andrea, very similar. She's involved in education. You're involved actually in a business that, and you have employees too, don't you?
Yeah, our season's over, so they're gone now, but during the season.
So you've been in a private enterprise here in America, and you provided a much-needed service, jobs for folks, and our hope and your hope is that you can continue to do that. So may things work out for you. May things develop in Washington that provide the folks who are dreamers with an opportunity to remain and pursue their dreams, because that's what dreamers are. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, now, those were some pretty thought-provoking stories. And it just brings up the issue, really, about anything that we can do to address the dangers these young people who are dreamers face. And I think we're going to contact somebody who can help us with that.
I think our next guest will have some suggestions and maybe answer other questions that arose when Andrea and Suemi told their stories. Rick Exner is an immigration activist, and he can tell us what concerned citizens are planning.
Hi, Rick.
We've just been talking to Andrea and Suemi. I think you know both of them, and I'd just like you to tell us what's happening here in Ames. I believe that there's some events planned, and maybe you could clarify a little bit about the laws that are being suggested right now in Washington.
Okay. We are doing some things locally to demonstrate our community support for the DACA students, the young people who have been protected from deportation through the DACA program, the Dreamers, they're sometimes called. And Andrea Palomo is going to be helping us with some of that, which we appreciate a whole lot. But let me back up a little bit, and I'm sorry I was switching between radios and I missed most of your discussion earlier, but did you talk about the national situation with DACA?
No, we didn't.
Okay. To make a long story short, DACA was a program of the Obama administration. The President Trump got elected on a promise to do away with DACA. Since then, he's made expressions of support for the DACA recipients, but he's all over the board. Last week, his administration put out a set of principles, I guess, in quotes, that is basically a list of bargaining chips. So if you want to save us, save DACA, then you're going to have to give us the wall. If you want to save DACA, then you're going to have to put immigration on a basis, basically first cutting it in half, then making it a high-skilled jobs program, and doing away with the opportunity for people who receive citizenship in this way to petition for their family members, except for, I guess they're making an exception for spouses and children, but not sisters, brothers, not an aunt, not a grandmother. Lots of gimmies attached to renewing DACA, and so we think it's more important than ever for our lawmakers to hear about the community. So we have a little plan to do some what we're calling DACA dinners, and we are inviting our representatives of our Senator Ernst, Senator Grassley, and Representative Steve King's offices to come and attend and hear from some DACA students in our community and hear from us and think a little bit about what else we need to do in our community and how we can support some other things that are going on, particularly the arrests that are going on leave families without support, mount up into legal fees and things like that. So this is a community expression for people who have been troubled by what they hear about the Trump administration and immigration, and particularly about the DACA program being ended. Those people with concern can come and break bread with us. And the first one of these DACA dinners is Sunday the 22nd of October. That's at the Ames Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on Highland. It's at 12:30, and it's going to be in the fireside room. And you're more than welcome to come and join us. It's going to be a main dish will be provided at a nominal cost, and then you're invited to bring a side dish, a salad, a dessert, something like that to share. So another good Midwest potluck with a little help from the kitchens of Terry Lohman and Mark Cassis. We'd love to know if you're coming. That'll help us plan. And if people would like to give me a phone call, I can put them on the list. My phone number is 515-231-5581. And my name is Rick Exner. But if you don't call, don't feel that you can't come. So the 22nd, so two weeks from last Sunday. 22nd.
Well, Rick, this is Paul. I wanted to really highlight these DACA dinners. This is the first of several, and these are informational. You've invited folks who are decision makers to these, given the opportunity to be there. And this is Rick Exner, and you're going to be taking reservations. You want to be somewhat understanding how many folks are going to come for these dinners. The first one will be October 22nd at the Fellowship, the method of the Unitarian Church, really, on Highland, as it's known in Ames. What time is that again, Rick?
12:30.
It'll be on the 22nd of October. What day of the week is that? I don't have my calendar here. Is that a Sunday?
That is Sunday.
Sunday the 22nd of October.
After the second service at the UU Fellowship.
Very
good.
Well, I hope you have a good response, and I hope that some of the folks who are making these choices for us in Washington have the courtesy and availability to be there. Thank you very much, Rick.
Let me just say that the next one that we know about is November 7th at the UCC, the United Church of Christ Congregational. And we expect there's going to be one at the Ames Friends meeting, although we don't have a date on that, and probably one associated with either St. Thomas Catholic or maybe a joint effort of the Catholic Church's name. So.
Okay. Now, is there a website people can go to be updated on the dates of these DACA dinners?
No, but have them give me a call, and I'll be happy to fill them in with a date.
Actually, we posted the forums, the election forums, so I could put those also on our website.
That's very good, Susan. Well, thank you much, Rick, very much. The DACA dinner's coming in Ames on behalf of understanding what's facing our DACA people and what can be done in Washington to change outcomes of what might be intended.
Jennifer Reese from Story City, welcome to Local Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Let's learn something about your business.
I have a brand new 5,000 square foot office building for commercial leasing that we're almost finished with in Story City. And it's located downtown on Broad Street. And part of my other office building, which is a financial practice, and it's located in a historic 1925 building that used to be City Hall in Story City.
Uh-huh. And what are the businesses that you're currently housing there?
Currently in the old building, I have my financial practice. And then in the new building, I will have my commercial business, which is called Leonessa LLC. And I have a contractor that will be in that building, a tax preparer. And then we have in Suite 2 a LED lighting company that also does solar fans and other green energy type retrofitting for people's homes and businesses. And so we're looking for tenants for our Suite 3 and Suite 4. And they can be rented individual offices or the full suite.
And you mentioned green.
Yes.
Go ahead and let's develop that.
Yeah, we've used a lot of green technologies in building the building. It was constructed.
Meaning environmental?
Yes.
Okay.
It was constructed with SIPS panels to begin with, not your normal stick built, but SIPS panels are wood on either side and wheat and rice straw that's fused together at a high heat to give you a really dense R factor for insulation. And it comes together kind of like a Lego set on a crane when they bring building pieces in. So it goes up very quickly. And then we're using mini split units in each of the suites. It's not a forced air system where you can have mold and allergens, you know, in your air handling system. A mini split unit controls the heating and cooling in each unit, and so people can set it to their comfort level for their offices, and they're much more efficient. They're all electric.
And you're hoping to attract businesses that have an environmental conscience, if you will?
Yes. Hoping that we can have some other people join us that are also looking to do some innovative things with either, like I said, retrofitting people's homes and businesses, or if they have new technologies that they're wanting to spin off, and then have more of a business referral network within this large building so that we can help promote each other's businesses.
Are there financial considerations here? I mean, Story City, I'm presuming the rent or the overhead of a business in Story City might be less or a little more economical than here in Ames?
Yes, it's about, I can charge a third of the rental prices that we usually have in Ames. Being an Ames girl, I'm used to driving east to west across Ames, and sometimes if you hit the lights wrong or if it's a football day, you know, it takes 40 minutes,
yeah.
Where if you are at Ada Hayden Park, it's just a quick 15-minute drive up the highway to get to the building. And then we're also 2 minutes from I-35, which makes it very convenient for businesses. So it's kind of a nice hub area. Everything has been moving north. And so we're hoping to kind of develop Story City as more of a hub for those green businesses and innovators that are looking for that kind of atmosphere.
Are there other incentives? The rental rate, that would seem to be.
Yes.
So could you explore a few other aspects of your mission in Story City?
Our main mission is to get this first initial building off the ground and have it fully rented. The building is going to be solar powered, and so we're trying to use, like I said, as many green elements as we can within the building construction. There's a nice courtyard green space that we're going to do on the corner. I have the two downtown lots on the corner between Broad Street and Elm. And so we want to make that a pretty nice place for community people and for these businesses to have outdoor lunches, meetings, and such. There's conference rooms in the building that all the renters can use. We have high-speed fiber optic internet available, and then reception areas, workrooms, kitchenettes in each one of the suites. And so there's a lot of amenities with this building that you would normally have to supply yourself, you know, if you were renting your own individual space, but we're trying to make it more of a community-friendly business park.
I certainly welcome the reference to Ada Hayden. And so businesses that you're hoping to attract, you will undoubtedly be able to bolster the community aspect of what you've got established up there.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Yes. And we're a very active business community in Story City. The interesting part of having planted a flag here from an office standpoint, a lot of my Ames clients, Ankeny clients, Des Moines clients don't really mind where my office is because we can do Skype meetings or through the computer system. And everybody north of Story City, the smaller towns that are north of us, tend to do a lot of their business shopping and personal shopping in Story City. So for the folks that are listening in Ames, it's really a nice environment because it opens up a brand new northern market for a lot of businesses that you don't even realize is available to your business.
Yeah, and so what a wonderful link to a community radio station.
Yes.
that we would be so fortunate to learn about. And Leonessa, LLC, that's kind of an interesting name.
Well, Leonessa means lioness in Italian. So since I own a business and I'm a female business owner, in the wild, lionesses are the ones that actually do the hunting.
Sure.
And so my daughters really like the name. And so when you're trying to find an LLC name, a lot of the English names are taken for your corporation. But if you shop around a little bit on other languages, you can usually find something that has some good meaning to it. So we thought it was a nice, strong name. You know, LeonessaLLC.com is our website, and so it's got our logo, which is a lioness on it. And
let me spell this out. L-E-O-N-E-S-S-A.
Yes, LLC.com.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listener here this morning?
I think just
today?
If we were at Torrent Brewing recently and had announced that we had just the two suites left and we're looking for, you know, our final tenants to move in with us. And we had opened it up and were really looking for innovators and entrepreneurs or people that wanted flex space, maybe younger business people that were just getting started and wanted some help with that, because we've got, like I said, a tax person on site, we've got legal available, we have a private investor available, and so there's a lot of support within this new office building. And it has, it's still old town looking, like Story City, so there's a brick facade on it, but we've got a metal roof, and the exposed interior is very modern. So we've got very, very high ceilings, 12 to 15-foot ceilings, exposed brickwork, all that fun stuff that if you like a little bit of a modern twist when you go into an office building, people will really enjoy.
It sounds personalized. And you do have solar panels on your roof? Okay.
Yes, on the roof.
Wow, super. Well, this is just a great opportunity for businesses that want to exhibit an environmental conscience. And it sounds like you're creating quite a destination there in Story City.
Yes, we hope so.
Okay.
This is Susan Franson. I'm the host for this program, and I was just sitting in listening to your conversation with Pat Schlarmo. And about 6 months ago or so, we did an interview with Innovative Lighting in Roland, and it suddenly occurred to me, this sounds like the direction small towns maybe should be going in terms of looking for their business expansion.
Yes, I think so.
And I just wondered, do you have any interactions with them? Of course, they're focused on lighting, and they have their own particular innovation. I just wondered, do you have any contact with them?
I haven't had contact with that particular company. The lighting company that's coming into my building focuses on LEDs and also, like I said, retrofitting buildings, and their company name is Yellow Blue. So there's a lot of those smaller companies, and again, I'm kind of preferable to smaller companies because I think in the United States, those are the companies that can make the quickest changes and the most innovative changes, and are really kind of what drives our economy ultimately.
That was an interview with Jennifer Reese, founder of Leonessa, the new green business in Story City, and our interviewer was Pat Schlarbaum. And we are very happy to give such stories because with the innovative lighting up in Roland, we think that it's a wonderful development for small towns to be really diversifying their modern technology, not just the agricultural technologies, but the green technologies. You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been one of your hosts, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Thank you for listening. Earlier in the show, we heard from Andrea, Suemi, Rick Exner, and Jennifer Reese. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org. And find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org.
And today's show was engineered by Evan Taylor. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Immigration by Reform. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Okay. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and
we'll see you again on the radio.
Support for KHOI comes from Mary Greeley Medical Center, providing inpatient and outpatient services on a continuum of care, located at 1111 Duff Avenue in Ames. Find out more information at www.mgmc.org. That's mgmc.org.